Welcome to the Weekend Messages podcast from Pastor Philip Gonzalez and Outpost Church. Our mission is to help people say yes to Jesus so they can flourish for the glory of God. And we hope today's message helps you do just that. If you would like to learn more or contribute through giving, you can do both online at outpostchurch.org. And remember, the more you say yes to Jesus, the more you are an outpost of the kingdom of God.
Well, hello, Outpost Church family. Pastor Philip here, and this is a special day. I'm here with Timothy and Emily Bantola, one of our mission partners who work with CRU globally. Campus Crusade for Christ changed their name. How long ago was it? Ish. Like 6 weeks or 10 months or 5 years?
It's about 3 years, I think.
Okay. Officially.
Like, about three.
It's been a long process. Like, I think early 2000s when it started, but it just got really official. Like, everything has been changed to the new name 5 years or so ago.
Okay. So, not super recently, but relatively. Now, about how long has Campus Crusade been around? Or CRU, I guess I could say.
In the U.S., it started 1951 mm-hmm. at a university in California. Mm. And yeah, now it's just grown to 190 countries in the past 50 years.
Wow.
In fact, so I'm from the Philippines. In the Philippines, we celebrated our 50th anniversary just last year.
Wow.
So that was awesome. I think we were one of the first international ministries outside the U.S.
Wow, that is amazing. And can you speak to why did they change the name?
Well, there's a couple different reasons. It wasn't just one. One is that we're not just campus ministry anymore. So the Campus Crusade for Christ, we do ministry with, we call it leader impact. So that's working with leaders in society, like business people and professors and people in politics and military, et cetera. And we also work with local churches, partner with churches around the world. We have a family ministry. We have the Jesus film you might have heard about. So there's a lot of different things besides campus. Another reason is in some universities today in the U.S. And maybe in also some countries, the target audience that you're trying to reach, the word crusade has some negative connotations.
Yeah.
So that was not the initial motivating factor, but that was another thing to consider. And CRU was what students on U.S. campuses were already calling in. They were saying, let's go to CRU tonight. So it was an easy transition
right.
to that. So it had nothing to do with nobody with taking the name of Jesus out. We don't. Our official name is still Campus Crusade for Christ, but I mean our legal name, but
right.
CRU is for the branding.
It really makes a lot of sense, though. It sounds like you're doing your best to really be presenting yourself in a way that people are likely to hear the message more
right.
effectively.
Yeah, we wanted to eliminate as many walls as possible and be able to reach our target audience.
Nice. Now, I remember we were chatting earlier that there are a lot of people who are involved with CRU, specifically whether it's staff or missionaries. Talk to me a little bit about that. I think you said there are 20,000 people worldwide?
Yeah, that's correct. So about 200 countries, and even in just in just this campus, we moved here a year or so ago, there's 1,500 people. I haven't met half of
not
those
quite.
Yet, or so we're still getting to know a lot of new people, even after a year.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, God's been really good in raising up people, so those 20,000, that's staff and volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's all around
cool.
the world.
All around the world, yeah.
All around the world, including places like the Philippines,
right.
where you're from, Timothy. And Emily, did you guys meet in the Philippines?
We didn't. We met in Turkey.
In Turkey.
That's the world of being a
wow.
missionary. I lived in East Asia, a part of Asia, very big country there, for about 10 years. And I was part of the operations for the ministry. And we had an operations conference in Turkey. And Timothy was the finance manager for our ministry in the Philippines. We met in the finance meetings.
Nice. And one thing led to another, and you said, ooh, let's make spreadsheets together.
Something like that.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know about spreadsheets, but you have a son that
mm-hmm.
you made together, and Ephraim, right. I'm going to try to pronounce it right. And he is, I think, 2.5, you said?
He is.
That is really cool.
Yes.
And you guys
is.
Moved up here to the Orlando area about how long ago?
We moved back from Asia in December 2015,
okay.
and Ephraim was born about 3 months after that.
Mm-hmm.
And
he was made in China.
Made in China. That's fantastic.
Yes. We'll always tell him that.
You should give him a sticker.
Stick it on him. Yeah. So, yeah, made in China, but...
Born in the USA. Like.
And then we moved here about April of last year.
Nice.
So 2017. So we've been here a little over a year now.
That's really cool. Now, we're really grateful to be able to partner with you guys in ministry, and we know that you guys are involved in the finance side of Crew. Can you speak a little bit about what are some things that you do as a part of that ministry, and how does it impact the cause of Christ globally?
Yeah, we certainly enjoy being where we are. This is a place where we feel like it's an intersection of us wanting to serve God full-time and be in an organization that's really close to our hearts, which is reaching college students. Because for both of us, that's how we started. We were full-time sharing the gospel to college students and discipling them for our first few years in our being missionaries, but also at the same time making the most of the gifts and skills that God has given us. So both of us love numbers. Both of us are know that we are blessed in that area, that we're skilled with, as you said, spreadsheets and things like that. And so doing this sort of puts us at an intersection of those. Especially a lot of our countries, we're present in many small countries around the world. So a lot of these countries, we don't have a huge number of staff. So especially the operational needs aren't... they're not that strong in those areas. So everyone sort of signs up to be in the ministry to disciple college students, for example. But each of those countries needs someone that they would call, you know, their finance manager, because mm-hmm. we all receive donations. That's how our ministry is funded, especially as an international organization from one country, a donor giving to a staff member in another country. And so sometimes the person who just knows the most about Microsoft Excel is pulled in and say, you're our finance manager, you're going to do this.
Sure.
So a big part of our work is in doing trainings to our colleagues who are serving in this capacity. That's not necessarily their strength, that's not necessarily why they sign up for the ministry, but they're stepping in really critical roles to serve the ministry and help their leaders make wise decisions in terms of the resources that they have available, and just to help push the ministry forward in that way.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, and one of the big projects we're working on right now is we're changing our finance software globally. And I think, like Timothy said, we have 190-something countries, but some of those have different, I guess, legal companies, more than one in a country. Yeah. So we have about almost 300 different entities that are all going on. And we start
that's a lot of paperwork.
In 2 months in October.
Oh my goodness.
So our first training is next week, and that's one thing we're preparing for. And one of the things that excites me about this software is, like, for instance, we have a country that has a small number of staff, but they're all in the capital city, and all the ministry is done in the capital city. And you might, and people have started to ask, why are you not going out to the villages? Well, the only way that they can get their donations is they have to, like, collect them physically and take them into the office physically, and receive their salary physically, and so they have to stay close. They can't go 12 hours out and come back every few days. Mm. But now with this new software, they can do it on their phones. They can take a picture. Oh. They can do it online, and they can go out and do ministry anywhere. Wow. So the exciting thing for us and what we're doing, even though it's so technical and detailed day to day, is that we're really enabling the ministry to just to grow. That's our prayer. That's what you can be praying for us in this project.
Mm-hmm. That is awesome. Well, one thing I love about that too is that from something that some people could say, well, you're just getting paperwork done or you're just doing computery things, but adding the human element. So, Timothy, when you were talking, I got this image of a person who loves Jesus and feels called to be involved in ministry, and so they connect with their local Crew organization, and they just want to love on people and share the message of Jesus, but now they're put in a role that they don't know if they're qualified for. You get to go and help them say, hey, you know what? You can do this. God is with you. We're going to help you so they can serve with joy. Mm-hmm. And then the person who really wants to get out of their comfort zone and go where God sends them but can't because they have needs that have to be met, you're enabling that person mm-hmm. to fulfill God's call on their life by giving mm-hmm. them the tools to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually the other side of that coin is, so Emily talked about this big project that we are doing right now, which is rolling out this new software to all our finance offices around the world, is one of our main goals here is to reduce the people that we have in our finance offices by as much as half by being... So how we see the software is going to be a lot more efficient in how we process our operations. And so just taking advantage of the technology that we have right now. So typically in a country with, say, 300 staff members, there would be about 10 people serving in the finance office to serve the needs of those 300. Mm-hmm. And now we're looking at reducing that by half to just 5 or even less people. And so what that does is it frees up more of our people to go out into the field and actually, you know, physically share the gospel with people. And so a lot of times when you think about, okay, we're just doing this software, it's just... it can be looked at as, okay, it's more convenient, it's such a first world kind of problem, but we always have at the top of our minds, how is this going to impact our field and how is this going to impact our capacity to reach people for Jesus? Mm-hmm. And so that's one of it, just freeing, having more of our people really out there as opposed to be in back office roles.
That is really cool. Well, it sounds like God is really using you guys to do some major impact for the kingdom. And I love that. Now, I know that you also travel, even now in this current role, and you've both been traveling a good bit. What's maybe one place you visited recently that stood out to you? Unless, of course, you can't share, which I mean, I know that's a thing, right? I went to some place on the other side of the... Right, I get that.
Okay, I think for me, one place I've traveled recently that I've always wanted to go is Eastern Europe. Mm-hmm. I went to Budapest in November of last year, yes. And I've always been interested in it, especially since I lived in a part of Asia that was communist, and visiting this place, I was able to see a lot of the... It's not communist anymore in Hungary, but a lot of the buildings have the same look. There's the blocks and all this. And learning about the history of the church there, which is very interesting. And the culture. I have a friend there who had lived there for a long time and telling me some about the people of Hungary. One thing I love about traveling is... And doing what we're doing is I actually get a chance to go into the office and see what's happening there, see what God is doing, hear stories, and connect with our staff there. It puts, I guess you could say, feet onto the what I'm working on. That I connect a face and a vision to what we're doing, and which really motivates me to do it. So nothing particularly about that visit other than the fact that it was a really great way for me to connect to ministry.
That's awesome.
For me, it's contrast. Like recently, I did an internal audit to one of our ministries in Central Africa, and immediately after that, we went to Canada. And so both countries are staffed with people who really love the Lord and want to serve Him, but are faced with drastically different challenges. Mm-hmm. And it's just interesting for me seeing that highlighted. Visiting one country after another. So in this Central African country, they have 3 or 4 people in their finance office, but they're using, you know, Windows 95,
oh my goodness,
really decades old computer, really really slow internet, but they're, you know, they're making it work. They're making it work. They're reaching people for the gospel, and then on the other side of that, it's this huge ministry. They have like, I don't know, 500 or so staff. They have an IT team that if the finance team needs something, the IT team would just write code and write programs and to make things more efficient. But the challenge for them is how can they utilize more of that skills and gifts to serve the world? And so because sometimes they feel like they're isolated and they feel like God's not making the most of the talents that they have in actually reaching a bigger part of the world, not just the ministry in their own country. So things like that. So that's what we kind of face on a day-to-day basis, just being able to reach and equip our leaders where they are and see what they need at that level to reach their ministry and help them that way.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for sharing with our church family. Any last words to our church family before we go?
We are just so thankful for your continued prayers and your support of us. It really makes a difference. I know that, I mean, just for, like I said, traveling to the country that I'm behind the scenes supporting makes a big difference. I'm sure hopefully seeing our faces will make a difference in knowing how to pray for us and seeing how you are making a difference. So we're thankful for you, and yeah, thanks for taking the time to come visit us here.
Absolutely.
We appreciate that.
Thanks to you guys as well. Love you guys. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Hi, friends. Pastor Philip here, and thanks for joining us today. If you've been blessed, we'd love to know. Please leave a review on iTunes or Facebook, or email us at connect@outpostchurch.org. Also, if you'd like to contribute to this ministry, you can send a text message with any amount to 84321 or just visit outpostchurch.org/give. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you next time.